This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin. Welcome to this series of Newsmakers, where we're focusing on local aid to local communities, which is also known as shared revenue. We have a robust panel talking about this issue here. We have Representative Tony Kurtz, Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, and Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow. First, thank you all for being here today. We're talking about the shared revenue framework. Now, there's not a bill drafted yet, or what at least we have seen, but we know kind of what are the bullet points are. Let's first just let people know what we're talking about and kind of then go from there. Under the plan, Assembly Republicans say it would get every community in the state a 10% funding increase. It would also allow Milwaukee to levy a 2% sales tax. Milwaukee County could also add another 0.35% sales tax to its current 0.05% sales tax. Now, both of those would need voters' approval through referendum to pass. So we know kind of the broad details of what this plan wants to do, but we keep hearing, Representative, that this is a bipartisan plan. But one of the big questions is where are Senate Republicans? Where are Senate Democrats? We'll get to you in a minute. But is there bipartisan support right now? Do you have the votes in the Assembly and the Senate to pass this?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. To answer your question about do we have the votes in the Assembly, the answer is yes. What we are trying to do is build consensus with some of our Democrat colleagues on the Assembly side. It's something that I'm very confident that we could go to the floor and pass in the Assembly. Now, the Senate, that'll be a good question for them. But with Senator Mary Fitzkowski is something she and I have been working on for 6 months. We're in a very good place with the Senate. It's just we have a couple little details that we need to work out, make sure the numbers are accurate. That's why we don't have a bill draft right now. We've got it. And everything is ready to go. We just want to double check those numbers before we put anything out. So a community like a Waukesha sees those numbers and all of a sudden we have to pull those numbers back, it's going to look pretty bad. So we want to make sure those are double checked before we send those out.
When do you anticipate this bill to be released?
In an ideal world, it's going to be tomorrow. I mean, if everything I have to say about it, it's going to be tomorrow. We need to get this bill out. It's just, you know, I think it's very just criticism that it's not out. It's just we want to make sure those numbers are accurate. And we should have that sometime today and hopefully get that bill out tomorrow.
Senator, looking at some of the provisions in this plan, I guess, what is your initial take on it?
Well, we know in Wisconsin that the funding for our local governments is really challenged, and it has been for quite some time. You don't need to look much farther than the number of communities in Wisconsin that have gone to referendum in order to fund their governments and their schools. We in Madison need to be taking this really seriously, and it's exciting and really important work that is being done. And I am glad that we are doing it. But the devil is in the details with all policy making. And at this point, it seems like a half-baked cake. We keep hearing, if this, maybe that, and until we actually have the policy before us, I have some concerns. I know that Governor Evers did put in fixes to the shared revenue formulas and local funding for our governments in Wisconsin into the budget. Clearly, he heard from people all across Wisconsin and was reelected based on his promise to fix that. And I think it's concerning to me that we're just dumping that all out rather than looking at those proposals as we go forward with the full budget process.
Now, there's a lot of provisions in here that directly deal with Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Before I list those off, there's just some provisions, almost what would be described as kind of a GOP wish list. It's a lot of bills that we've seen the governor veto, such as not allowing local health officials to shut down a business. There's a provision in that. There's also one that deals with Milwaukee, putting police officers back in school. And it's very restrictive of how this money overall could be used. Based on those provisions, I know you haven't seen the bill, but can you give us a sense, would you vote for this today?
I can't tell you if I would vote for it or not because I haven't seen the bill, but I would agree that rather than looking at how it is that we address funding of our local governments, funding of our schools, which is another big conversation that we need to be having, we are holding back on the actual details of the legislation, and it sounds like there are concerning poison pills being put into it. Now, I haven't seen the bill, so I'm not sure what it is that's going to stick, and if it's worth a trade. But, you know, one of the concerns that I am hearing, especially from the folks in Milwaukee, is that they would have to accept many of these provisions that don't have anything to do with shared revenue and go to referendum within their community with the very real possibility that those referendums could fail. So then they find themselves in this continued cycle of financial concern for their communities, as well as having real restrictions as opposed to honoring the local control and the work that can be should be done at that local government.
So you have
level.
Concerns right now, meaning it would be a tough vote for you right now.
It would
now.
Be a very tough vote for me.
All right, Paul, I want to get to you to get kind of the local reaction, because overall this plan, it would benefit smaller communities a little bit more. And there's also incentives for local governments that would give them more if they kind of consolidate services. It would provide an additional $300 million in incentives for local governments if they find ways to combine police, firefighters, etc. Now, you called this a bailout for Milwaukee because a lot of this would benefit Milwaukee and it would allow them to increase their sales tax in the county and city level. But your county is a little bit different because your criticism comes because you've been combining services for quite some time, and you said your overall concerns are about the strings attached to this. So tell me a little bit about more about just general reaction to this.
Yeah, thanks, Emily, and I appreciate it. And first of all, Representative Kurtz, thanks for what you're doing. You know, when you think about the shared revenue plan and the formula, it's something that's kind of ambiguous and been out there. It hasn't been touched since 2004. It hasn't really been adjusted at all since 2012. So having this conversation is important. When you look at the plan overall, and I'm going to kind of allude to the bailout first, we know Milwaukee's got an issue. And County Exec Crowley and Mayor Johnson were basically curtailed with a situation that they had nothing to do with 20-plus years ago in the pension program. Figuring out a way to make sure that that is taken care of has been important, and I know it's a topic. Back when I was in the legislature, we looked at trying to figure out how to find solutions. One of the challenges that I look at, though, is we talk about a historic change to our shared revenue. If I look at history and say we're not going to come and revisit this for 20 years, I want to make sure that we're in a good shape as a county as I project out 10 or 20 years to continue to be a good servant of every tax dollar that we have and a good steward on behalf of the state of Wisconsin, providing the services that we're required to provide. So I look at some of the requirements in there. I'll pick out a couple just real quick, but one of the things they're looking at is changing the 911 fund to ensure that the money that's received under 911 goes to our 911 dispatch systems. Some of the language that we're hearing is we can use that for technology, we can use it for software, we can use it for training, but we can't use it for personnel. Well, in order for me to have the software and the training, I need someone sitting there using it. And that's our biggest challenge right now, is we're seeing across a number of the counties, personnel costs are going up because of inflation and what's happening. If I'm handcuffed that I can't use new funds to provide for my personnel, that's going to put me at a detriment. And so as I look at it, from Waukesha County, we're a AAA bond-rated county. We're one of the few in the state. We're very good fiscal stewards. We have the lowest per capita spending at about $646 per person. So we have been very frugal. As I look at what we're projecting in the potential numbers that we've seen, some of the theoreticals that are out there, the money that I would receive under this historic change doesn't even cover my cost to continue growth for next year. And so that's part of the challenge, and that's why I had a great conversation with Representative Kurtz earlier. I'm talking with our legislators to say, if we're going to do this now and make it a one-time change for the next 20-plus years, I want to make sure we're putting components in that keep us on the right track as we move forward.
How are you taking those concerns into account? Because, I mean, granted, the package isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. You're working with a lot of stakeholders here, trying to get everyone to like the deal. But there's going to be give and take from both sides. So for example, what he brought up, I mean, how are you addressing that?
Well, first of all, the new money that everybody will get, a minimum of 10%. Some communities, like a Waukesha County, like a Adams County, they're going to see a much higher percentage. There's some communities that may see as much as a 500 to 600% increase in their new shared revenue supplemental aid. that new supplemental aid can be used for dispatch personnel. They can be used for firefighters. They can be used for transportation, public works. So there are things in the package, not perfect, but that are going to bring those communities up. Are they going to make them all whole? Absolutely not. But it's sure going to close that gap. So let me give you an example. Juneau County, where I live, very rural county, right next to Adams County. When the formula was frozen in 2004, Juneau County, roughly $900,000 in shared revenue. Adams County, $18,000. And because they got a little bit of the Dells. You're going to see a massive increase for Adams County. Not so much for Juneau County. But everybody's going to see a bump to try to equalize that out. We're not going to make everybody across the board, but it's truly going to bring a lot of municipalities that were treated differently, like a Waukesha, like a Dane County. They're going to bring them up. And when people see these numbers, I think many people are going to be shocked, particularly if you're in a township or a small local government.
And one of the challenges, again, is he brought it up, Juneau County is receiving $900,000. Waukesha County is the third largest county in the state. We have 425,000 people that live there. We get $600,000. And so that's, as you say, you're going to see a significant increase. The significant increase that we're going to see still doesn't cover what we need for costs to continue. And this is where, and I look at both of you on this one, Waukesha County is under a tax levy limit. So we can only raise revenues per se by about 1.5% year over year. The state of Wisconsin, the last about four cycles, has increased spending by over 5.5% year over year. If you guys want to show how good fiscal stewards you are, try spending 1.5% year over year and see how that impacts the state budget. That's where we're trying to say, if you're going to do this long term, put it into perspective where we're at right now.
And I think that's one thing. So when we sat down with the city of Milwaukee several times, people have to understand that the formula in 04 was frozen. Now this new, both aids, the current shared revenue and the new supplemental aid, that'll be tied to the growth in the sales tax of the state. For me, when I look at projections like for the city of Milwaukee, it is staggering what that does compounded. And that's why I hope, you know, local units of government realize that tweak. So you're going to be tied to the growth of the state. I think most people that we've talked to, they're excited about that opportunity. State does well, your community will do well. Dane County will do well. I think that's a great point moving forward that unfortunately is somewhat being forgotten in the weeds.
Now, I want to get to kind of the policy requirements that are in this plan, too, that directly deal with Milwaukee, because there's also a lot of what-ifs. We hear it's going to be possibly a trade-off, that Milwaukee is going to have to give up some stuff that Republicans have been wanting to see in order to increase their sales tax. But the tie to that is that it seems that it will be also through a referendum. So here's some of the requirements. Any money raised off that sales tax would have to pay pension obligations. The city would also have to hire additional police officers. School resource officers would have to return to Milwaukee public schools. Milwaukee would also be banned from using tax revenue on streetcar route extensions. And Milwaukee's Fire and Police Commission would be barred from setting police department policy. Now, looking at these in general, to me, what stands out is that some of these are bills that Republicans tried to pass that the governor vetoed before, specifically school resources officers, and the overall plan would require all schools to start tracking how many crimes happen on school property. Is this setting up for a possible veto from the governor? Because there's things in there that we've seen him reject before, and is that concerning?
There are things in this package that Republicans are very passionate about, and I think there's going to be a discussion on how do you truly help Milwaukee. What people do not understand, when I first got into this several months ago about the Milwaukee piece, it is not a matter of if Milwaukee will go bankrupt, it's a matter of when it will go bankrupt. So that's the first piece. Their pension obligation is the big issue in the room. And it is a drive on their growth and the drive on their funds. Okay, it's taken a huge amount of money. The goal with this is we would do a soft close on that pension plan. Any new hires would come into WRS, which was just voted the best pension in the country. So that is the first thing. The other issue, Milwaukee has cut their police and fire over the years. That has resulted in increase in crime. I hear that all from our suburban legislators that surround Milwaukee, that there needs to be an impact on fighting crime in the city? Well, they've reduced police and fire to help with that backfill in the pension plan. So it's a multi-pronged approach to help with the pension, to close that, new hires in the WRS, and reinforce the police and fire, which most communities would support that.
Senator, is that a concern of yours too, that are you maybe wanting to talk to the governor? Let's say I have some concerns, even though a lot of these deal with Milwaukee, there's still an overall component that schools would have to track crimes, et cetera. Is that something that you're going to be voicing to the governor's office? Or have you had those discussions that maybe I'm not going to vote for this because of X, Y, and Z?
Certainly I've heard from my colleagues, Democrats in the Senate as well as in the Assembly, had conversations with local elected officials in Milwaukee and across the rest of the state, and had the opportunity to chat with the governor's office on a superficial level, because we haven't seen the details of the policy again,
right,
about how these additional provisions can affect not only Milwaukee, but the rest of the state. I do agree with Representative Kurtz. When Milwaukee does well, Wisconsin does well. We need to do something to address this pension crisis that exists there. And it has been there for multiple decades. It's something that the current mayor and county executive have inherited, and certainly that the legislature has not stood up and addressed. But doing it with extracurriculars added into the conversation, we have to remember that the Republicans control the Joint Finance Committee, and they are pulling, tomorrow is my understanding, pulling provisions out of the budget because they consider them not to be budgetary. They consider them to be policy related. We need to treat these conversations in an equitable way. And if we want to fix shared revenue and make sure that we're fulfilling our promise to our local governments and local control, then we should be doing that. But by inserting these additional provisions in that conversation simply because the Republicans don't have another way to get unpopular policy passed, that does not seem like good government. It's not transparent and fair government for the state of Wisconsin.
Paul, what are you also hearing? I know a lot of this deals with Milwaukee, but you're right there. You're right next door,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, these provisions don't directly deal with you, but, you know, what if this referendum doesn't pass? Does that concern you? Because it could maybe have, you know, a domino effect with this whole plan.
Yeah, there's a lot of impact, especially when you talk about the Milwaukees. When you look at it, and I think Representative Kurtz laid it out pretty well, because of the pension problem, we can't do public safety. Because of the pension problem, we can't provide these services. So for the legislature to finally say, okay, if we're going to help you fix your pension problem, there are going to be some caveats that you have to look at. When talk about in Waukesha County, we're right next door, quality of life. A lot of people are moving to Waukesha County because we have a low crime rate. It's amazing that a good portion, over 30% probably of our inmates, are Milwaukee residents in our county jail. That's the problem that we have. So what impacts Milwaukee will impact Waukesha County. When I talk to County Executive Crowley and Mayor Johnson, they have some great visions for Milwaukee and the city of Milwaukee. And I keep kind of coming back to quality of life is what they're looking at. The number one issue that people have in Waukesha County when they talk about quality of life is public safety. They want to make sure that their streets are safe to walk on, their kids are safe to go to school, they're safe to go to their businesses. So looking at some of the parameters that they're putting in place to say, Milwaukee, you're going to have to help us out. If you want X, you're going to have to help us out with Y and Z. It's kind of the way we've done things. When I was in the legislature, we worked it. As a county executive, we worked the same way. I'm not saying you guys should do everything I want you to do, and I'm not going to do anything. But having that dialogue and making sure that we get what's in the best interest of the citizens of that region set up is what we're working to do.
Now we know Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley have agreed on this framework. They didn't go and have the press conference last week and criticize the plan. They kept calling it a work in progress. But off the side, both have told me, and even Milwaukee leaders, I should say, across the board, are concerned that if this referendum does not pass that would allow Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to raise their sales tax, I mean, the whole point is to avoid a huge fiscal cliff, right? I mean, a full-blown fiscal crisis, I should say. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't happen, what is plan B? I mean, what if voters don't want to approve this plan? I mean, is there a backup plan?
Well, first of all, I want to kind of step back on Mayor Johnson and David Crowley, the county executive. You know, this process started well over 4 months ago, working with the two of them. And from my perspective, it's been very collaborative, very respectful. We've had numerous meetings, particularly in the last several months. The last month, and Senator Agard has been at a couple of those. They've been very constructive, I believe respectful. We've had disagreements. But I think moving forward, our goal is to set up Milwaukee so they can concede. There's still a lot to work out, obviously, with those two. But, you know, the governor is going to come into play. And I think from our position, a referendum is something that we've always strived for in the Republican caucus and the Assembly. And I think that is the way moving forward.
Well, it's kind of rare that, you know, the MO for Republicans mm-hmm. is we don't want to raise taxes, we don't want to raise taxes, we want to cut taxes, we want to cut taxes. But now you're kind of giving them this ability. But it also, is it not setting them up for possible failure?
I would go back to, we are giving Milwaukee the ability to help themselves. I understand the raising the taxes part. They will have to raise the taxes on their own to vote for that tax increase. And one thing, and I think one of the things we're going to get pushback on from other counties are going to say, hey, you let Milwaukee do it, why not us? Well, Milwaukee's the only
Yeah.
I'm glad we led into that. Milwaukee's the only one that has a pension system, the county and the city. Waukesha doesn't have one. Dane County doesn't have one. So they are in a very unique situation. And for my constituents, when I go back to my district, and let's be honest, I'm in a very rural district. The vast majority, I can honestly say a lot of people in my district probably haven't even been to Milwaukee. And so they have a hard time saying, why should I bail out Milwaukee? Well, you don't. They're having the opportunity to help themselves. And I think that's where the Republicans in the Assembly, and to be honest with you, this in the Senate, we're giving them the chance to help themselves. This is a lifeline. It truly is.
And you mentioned this at the beginning of this program. That was, you brought that up. What if this referendum doesn't pass? You know, if this plan is out, we get to learn all the details this week. Would you do any, I guess, lobbying efforts to try to help make sure that this referendum is paired with this revenue increase in shared revenue as well, even though it might be difficult for you to go and ask some people to go raise taxes?
Certainly, the bill doesn't have to be tied to referendum. The Republicans who are in control in the legislature could draft this policy so that it goes into effect once the bill does, and if it does pass. And I think that is one way to guarantee that you're giving the tools to Milwaukee City, the Milwaukees, I like that, the city and the county, to be able to move themselves forward out of the pension crisis that currently exists. I agree. Everyone in Wisconsin, regardless if they have a D or an R next to their name or an I or whatever letter, they want to be safe. We want to make sure that our kids are going to be able to grow up in safe places, and that when you go to work, you're going to be able to come home and be with your family. That is something that we share as Wisconsinites. But currently, with our lack of investment to our local governments, and with the fact that Milwaukee is looming with this pension crisis, it is causing our state to be less safe. We need to be addressing shared revenue as well as the pension crisis to make sure that Wisconsin is not only a safe place but a prosperous place, and that we're honoring our local electeds, whether they're in small rural town Wisconsin or whether they're in Milwaukee. Again, when we all do well, we do better. And my concern is that we're assuming that there needs to be a referendum here. There does not. We're assuming that there needs to be these additional tied-on policies. There do not.
Now, she brought up getting rid of the referendum. I guess why not have the Milwaukee Common Council and local governments pass their own sales tax increase?
So if a core belief of Republicans in the Assembly for really the last decade is if you want to raise your own sales tax in your community, you go by referendum. We've done that with local government. We do that with school boards. So I guess if that's a core belief of us, of ours, and now you want us to change that, what core belief is, you know, Senator Agard or the governor willing to go back on? That's where we're at. That's a core belief of us. Let the people decide. In this case, it's going to be the city and the county of Milwaukee to decide if they want to increase that sales tax on themselves to truly set themselves up for success in the future. And I think that's going to be the discussion moving forward.
Well, Paul, do you think a referendum is the right way to go?
You know, I'm going to agree with Representative Kurtz on this one. The counties have the ability to impose a sales tax, and 69 to 72 counties have already done that. Milwaukee County has. They're asking now for an additional tax that they want to impose. When you look at a 2% for the city of Milwaukee, you look 0.3% for Milwaukee County. I think there is a point where you have to say, okay, people who live here, is this what you want? And if it is, here's what we're going to be doing with it, and that's what a referendum is. We've seen it with school districts. We've seen it with municipalities. A couple of counties have gone to referendum. Some have won, some have lost. And part of the responsibility then for leadership at that point is to say, okay, here's what we're trying to do. Did we give you the information you need to make a good decision to move forward? And so in this case, I have been one where I've talked with many people. I think it's something that we need, but at the same time, since it's a new tax that we're looking at, especially in the city of Milwaukee, no other municipality below a county has the ability to impose a sales tax. We're giving this brand new one to the city of Milwaukee. We should make sure that the people understand what it is and what the impact is.
Now I want to talk about timeline, because I would think Joint Finance would want to have the shared revenue aspect figured out while they're crafting the next budget. So let's talk about that. I mean, is this going to be in the budget? Is this a separate bill? How is this going to work out timeline-wise?
No, this will be a separate bill. Yes, I would have loved to have this out about 3 weeks ago, because it is obviously, as Senator Agar said, we're going to start taking votes on the budget this week. But the timeline, we're going to get this out tomorrow, and then we'll start getting the hearings lined up, getting consensus among our colleagues, and then getting it to the floor. So it would be a standalone bill.
Is there concerns if this doesn't pass? And, you know, meanwhile, tomorrow they start gutting Governor Evers' budget proposal. They're going to be moving along for the next several weeks. If this doesn't pass, is this just going to complicate the entire process?
I think it does, but I also think there's been a lot of people at the table for the last month that truly want this to succeed. I mean, there's been a lot of, I mentioned this to Bob Lang, and all the insiders watching know who Bob Lang is. I asked him at the last meeting, when was the last time that you saw the majority leader, the speaker, the minority leader from the assembly, the mayor of Milwaukee, and the county executive of Milwaukee at the same table? And he said, I honestly can't recall. So this is historic. I think everybody, to Senator Agard's point, we do want to set up the city's success. We want to help our communities with shared revenue that's been frozen since 2004. I think people want to get this done, and I think there's a desire, and to be honest with you, I think there's a need to get it done.
And Senator, can you just talk to, I guess, what the historic nature of this is? You know, he made a very good point how we haven't seen this many individuals from both sides of the aisle get together. Now, while it's not, you would say it's not a perfect plan, to get to this point, what does it mean for someone who's been in the legislature for many, many years?
Well, I will say I do appreciate the fact that we are all sitting down at a table and taking space with one another. It is unprecedented, and I am hopeful that it is something that we can continue to do. I'm a little concerned about the speed at which, after the bill is introduced, if it happens this week, it's going to hit the floor. And I also am concerned that this doesn't, you know, is this going to continue happening or not? I am hopeful that as we continue to work forward in solving big problems for the state of Wisconsin, that we actually are more committed to be sharing space with one another and hearing one another. That said, again, I am very concerned that if this does come out tomorrow with referendum attached to it, that we're not actually helping Milwaukee, that we're setting them up with higher benchmarks, with more constraints, and we're not really helping them to solve the problem that exists, because both the mayor and the county executive have expressed real concern about being able to deliver votes in the affirmative. And our local electeds are elected to make these tough decisions. I very much believe that we should be empowering our city council and county board in Milwaukee in order to be able to pass this, because ultimately it's their backs that are on the line.
Well, you're the ones that have, you know, you're the one that has to go and talk to your caucus about this. Are we voting up or down for it? And you keep bringing up this referendum issue. If the referendum is included in this package, is that a no vote for you?
I very much believe with all legislation that there's room for amendments. And I am hopeful that when the bill comes out, if it happens to be tomorrow or later this week, that there's the opportunity for us to continue to be at the table and talk about what these concerns are and address them. I would love us to get to a point where there is bipartisan support to addressing the shared revenue crisis across the state of Wisconsin, as well as the pension crisis in Milwaukee. That's how Wisconsin moves forward.
All right. Well, that will do it for our time today. Thank you all for joining me. This is a conversation that definitely will not be ending, and hopefully we'll be talking much about in later days. All right. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Newsmakers. I'm Emily Fannin.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.